This is DJ Richard Ray, and I'm here speaking with Kevin Manthey, composer of all this terrific music from Invader Zim. Hi, Kevin. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
All right. Thanks.
Good to be here.
How did you originally become involved with Invader Zim?
Well, it's actually kind of a mini little Hollywood story. I did a student film for this girl, Anna Henry, about almost 10 years ago now when I was studying at USC. Mm-hmm. And I got an email out of the blue from her, which was seemed really strange, but I, of course, remembered her name right away. And I responded to the email, and basically what she was saying was she was working at Nickelodeon Studios, and they were mm-hmm. doing this new show, and they're looking for a composer, and their main creative person, who ended up being Jonan, was really into video game music. And the way she found my name was she was searching the web for video game composers because Jonan Vasquez really liked video game music. So she saw my name and instantly remembered my awful score that I wrote for her for her student film. It must not have been that awful. But so she she sent the email, and I was really excited because, you know, I've been doing some film and television stuff before that, but not my own series. So I was like, hey, this sounds like a fun thing to do. So I went in for a meeting with a couple people. Actually, I first put together a demo, and it actually, the kind of stuff she was asking for was very close to like the kind of music that I like to write. Mm. I put a lot of music that I did for some horror films and some darker games like Vampire the Masquerade.
Did you wind up sending like a demo reel then to her?
Yeah, I put together sort of a specific reel to the executive producers there and ended up going to Jonan as well. So then I got feedback from her like a week or two later saying that they really liked it and they wanted me to come in for a meeting. So I did that and met with Mary Harrington, the executive producer. She showed me the pilot that they had done. Mm-hmm. And it was a wacky pilot. I was like, oh my gosh, what am I getting myself into? And then from there, I met with Jonan that same day for like an hour and hung out. And yeah, it was pretty wild walking into his room for the first time. You know, it's all dark in there and all these morbid posters on the wall. And for some reason, he was watching this videotape of like, I don't know, it was some movie, but it happened to be in the gory spot, like where there was intestines and stuff on screen.
Oh, I see.
But he was a really cool, normal person, and we... I wasn't, like, scared talking to him or anything.
Sure.
And we seemed to get along pretty well, and then that was it. And then I think they called me back a little bit later, maybe a week or two, and they said, well, we want you to score an animatic.
I see.
Which was basically before it's final, they do what's called an animatic, which is basically they shoot video of the storyboards and then they kind of cut it together as though it's and then it's with the dialogue and everything. There's no music, no sound effects, and it's just like this white and black and white sketches sort of come alive. And so I wrote music for a couple different scenes. One was for Dark Harvest.
The main good episode.
The main big scary moment where Dib is being chased by the huge Zim with all the organs in him.
Oh, yeah.
And I scored that, and they really dug it, and I did a couple other scenes. And from there, it was just like, okay, well, we want you to do it.
And I see.
And we just did the lawyer thing, and a couple months later, I was scoring the first episode.
Well, it's almost ironic, because actually Dark Harvest was the first episode of Invader Zim I saw, so... I've been a fan ever since. What can I say? Okay, so at what point in an episode's production do you normally become involved with composing and scoring an episode?
Well, like I was saying, actually at the very end, an episode probably could be, I'm not sure how long they've been working on it, but it could have been worked on for 6 to 8 to 10 months to a year maybe.
Oh, I see.
By the time I get it, they give me a week to score it.
Oh,
wow. And then they take like another... While I'm scoring it, the sound effects guy's doing sound effects, and they're doing Foley, and then they spend like a day mixing it.
Mm.
So I get the what's called a locked picture. Everything is locked in terms of what you're seeing, so nothing is going to change, theoretically at least. A lot of times they would throw in second takes or things like that. So I would get these tapes that would say, relock, And then a couple times I'd get a re-lock. So locked picture is sort of relative. But everything visually is done. Sometimes there's a few things like the 3D shots are not always in there. But it's a great way to work because the picture is not constantly changing and the whole art of film scoring is writing music to the picture.
Right.
And so that's the way we work.
Okay. Okay, Kevin, can you describe a typical spotting session?
Well, Jonan and I have a spotting session every week before each half episode. So typically we would sit down, usually in the morning, which would mean I'd have to wake him up, or if I had to go over to his house a few times, he was come to the door bleary-eyed and complain. But usually I would just sit and watch the episode straight through the 12-minute episode. We would just spot 12 minute per week, generally. And even that 12 minutes, it would take us a good 2 hours or an hour and a half to get through that. And we just first time I'd watch it and just kind of absorb the show as much as I could. Mm-hmm. And then the second time, we would start and stop, you know, probably 100 times throughout that 12 minutes. And Jonan would kind of give me direction on where he wants a cue to start and where he'd want it to end. Basically, the style of the cue, how intense it would be, how, you know, maybe even instrumentation. As I was telling you before, sometimes he even has musical examples in his head, and he'll sometimes whip out a CD or sometimes a DVD. He'll show me a scene in a DVD. Like for Tack, for instance, he showed me some, I can't remember what movie, but he kind of liked this sort of Eastern influence that it had, so we kind of parlayed that into the Tack theme.
I see.
There was a building montage of when they were building the balloons, the water balloons.
Oh, right, for the wetting then.
Exactly, and we did this whole thing that was kind of reminiscent of another score. We did that every so often, but mostly it was just more along the lines of adjectives he would give me or feelings and emotions and sort of what the music is supposed to be doing at this scene. So it would go along. Sometimes he'd give very detailed things where he'd want things here and there and hits here and even he would sometimes go, you know, make it sound like this, dun, 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 or, you know, he would even kind of start humming at me.
I see.
Other times, especially like the big chase cues, I think they're so cue-y and they're hitting so many different things that he'd say, just kind of do your thing here. You know, and they sort of give an overall thing like, you know, I want it to be real industrial percussion, but with a lot of cool analog fast lines and still with big orchestral elements and stuff like that. So kind of run the gamut. But I would say he's definitely hands-on during the spotting session, and I love that because I just think it's great when people have an idea of what they want for their project. And
right.
He definitely knew what he wanted.
Excellent. Okay. So do you have full creative control over the music then, or do you have to discuss your scoring intentions with Jonan or the animation staff or any of the production crew first?
Well, basically a film composer is a court composer for the 20th century,
mm-hmm.
Which means that it's really not about what I want to write necessarily. It's about what the creative people on the show want to be written for their show.
I see.
And it's their job to try to pick the right person who also shares those same views,
mm-hmm.
just in general, in the way they like to write. So although it's not just about what I want for the show, it's really about what you know, the creatives on the show want.
Right.
And rightly so, because they're the ones who've been living with the story ideas and the whole show for, you know, years and years. And each episode, when I go on to spot an episode with Jonan, he's seen it probably for the 50th, 60th time, whereas for me, it's the first time. So a lot of times, I just have to watch the thing one time through just to digest what's going on.
Right.
The second time, I'm ready to start, you know, thinking about music.
Mm-hmm.
But Jonan's been, you know, thinking about music probably in his dreams for the last 2, 3, 4 months. So.
Right.
And not only that, but Jonan speaks music so well, and he has like gigabytes of data on his hard drives of just you know, every different score from this and that. And sometimes he would just be like, no, I kind of want something kind of like this. And he'd search in his computer and then, you know, play this piece by whoever, you know, and it would be great because we did some kind of cool stuff where I normally wouldn't have thought of going in that direction.
Right.
But because of his direction, we end up going that way.
I see. So in general, how long would you say it would take you to create the average Zim score from the concept to the finished product? The week that you described, or longer or less? Or
generally, what we would do is I would come in on a Friday and spot an episode.
I see.
And then generally I'd take the weekend off, and on Monday I would start writing the music.
Mm-hmm.
I'd write Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then on Thursday I would put together, I'd have my assistant Kevin Ripple, who would come in, and I would have all the music done, and then he would line it all up in my digital performer and get everything, the levels all perfect. I kind of do like a mini mix of the music with the dialogue and everything, just so that it's sounding as perfect as I can get it. Then we dump that down onto videotape. And then when I go to the next day on Friday, when I go to my spotting session for the next episode, right, I would bring in the music. And then also during that week, I would do changes on the previous week's episode. So I'd maybe spend anywhere from 0 minutes up to maybe half a day, on a rare occasion, maybe a day, working on changes and notes and that kind of thing. So fortunately, I never had to go to version 3s, so I hit it pretty well there.
Very good. Okay. In general, I've always really appreciated the mix and the quality of the sound. Do you perform the entire score yourself, or have you had to subcontract any musicians whenever you've needed to, or how would you approach it?
I would call the score for Zim very much synthetic. That is, it's done with analog synths, symphonic libraries on CD-ROMs and on my samplers.
I see.
With the exception of vocals, which anytime you hear wacky vocals, that's usually me singing or screaming.
I see. Crazy Taco, or that sort of thing.
Yeah, even Ultra Pee Pee, The Meats of Evil chorus.
Oh, great.
A lot of times, too, I'll sing stuff and then I'll pitch it up like to an insane degree.
Right.
So sometimes there's some really like goofy cartoon music or is watching on TV or
right,
something like that, and I mess around with that. Also, my assistant Kevin Ripple plays guitar. He actually created some samples for me of him just wailing on a guitar. And
okay, I was wondering how the quality of some of the heavy metal type riffs were so good. I thought, boy, is that sampled or is that something else?
That's he actually played live guitar on the drum and the drum and bass piece, which I call Drum and Thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, the big Shunk Battle. Mm-hmm. Is that his name?
Shunk? I think so, yeah, from Battle Dib, right?
Yeah, right.
I guess this also then leads into the kind of synthesizer setups and equipment you have in your studio, if that's not giving anything away.
When I first started the show, I had one analog synth. It's a Korg EA-1. It's I did the first episode with that, and although it's got an awesome sound, it just I had to do a lot of multi-tracking because it only plays one sound at a time.
Right. And so it's monophonic then? It's not.
Yeah, it's monophonic, and it only has one. It's not multi-timbral.
Right.
So meaning it can't spit out a bunch of different sounds at once. You can't record a song just with this box. Right.
One musical line at a time with no chords then?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So then I got this really cool synth called a Virus by Access. It's a German company, mm-hmm, and got my hands on one of those, and the thing's awesome. So this a lot of the analog synth stuff in Zim is a lot of it's sort of based off of the Virus and the EA-1. In terms of samplers and that kind of stuff, I use Roland samplers, and I also have a couple Giga Studio systems. Just at the end, like episode 25 and 26, I think I got a Roland VP9000, which is a Veriphrase processing sampler, which just allows you to take a loop at any tempo and play it at any tempo.
Wow.
So that was a lot of fun, and I wish I had that sooner.
it's a shame that the series hasn't gone on for longer then.
Yeah.
Are there any classic or contemporary composers or musicians that you would say have had the most influence on you in the past or present?
Well, I'll sound like a cliched young composer, I guess, and reference Danny Elfman and Hans Zimmer and James Newton Howard and but in all honesty, I do really respect their work and am inspired by it. A couple other more modern stuff. I really like Crystal Method's music. I like there's a guy named BT who's been doing some scoring and also a lot of sort of big beat music.
I see.
And sort of electronica. What's really hard is all these lines are so blurred between all the different electronica styles that I'm not sure exactly what to term things properly.
Neither am I.
I just saw a really cool movie with a great score, which was Bourne Identity. Mm. And John Powell did the music for that, and I was really inspired by that. I don't know, I think there's a lot of really cool stuff that's being composed these days.
Well, very good. Well, some of it involves you, too, I know. Are there any soundtracks or scores from any famous classic films or other TV series that you've especially admired or been influenced by? For example, I've heard homages to Copland and Morricone and Herman here and there.
Well, you mentioned Bernard Herman. I think what I find fascinating about him was that he sort of didn't follow the rules back then.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have all these lush, over-the-top, huge, you know, romantic, and sort of, you know, today's ears, can sound just too much, you know.
Right.
And just not appropriate to today's way of thinking about things. But he'd have just stuff in there that just, when you watch it and listen to it now, it's just like, whoa, that's cool.
Exactly.
And he would do strange things with instrumentation. He'd experiment. And I find a lot of his stuff pretty cool.
I see. So did Jordan actually say, well, make it sound like Copland or make it sound like Herman, or did he play clips from Psycho when he wanted certain things, or was that your own inspiration?
Well, the only thing about Psycho was just the how we've all grown up hearing the
right,
thing.
Exactly.
And so that's just sort of a comical thing. So a few times he's like, you know, do the Psycho thing. So
gotcha.
That's pretty simple to do and okay. Fun to do.
Exactly. Okay, well, I know you've done a lot of scores for films and games, and I did see on your resume that Invader Zim was your first TV series. But not including Invader Zim, what's your favorite film or game score of those you've already composed?
Favorites are hard to come by for me. I just sort of, I don't know, I'm going to take
the Your favorite is always the next one, huh?
My favorite's always just, generally the project I've worked on more recently, I'm hoping that each project gets a little bit better.
I see.
Really enjoyed this game Sacrifice that I worked on for Shiny Entertainment. Mm-hmm. I got to work with a 30-piece orchestra on that. Before that was Vampire the Masquerade, which is a medieval game, and I did all the music for the early medieval periods. But what was cool about it was medieval meets horror.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of fun stuff to do with that, you know, vampires and
exactly.
All that.
Okay. So what would someone who's interested in attending a film school have to study, or what kind of background would they need to get into a film scoring program?
For USC, I believe that they wanted you to have some sort of formal training beforehand, either a master's of music or at least some college courses. And also, we had to submit a demo of sorts. Also, I submitted a video demo. I think they asked for that as well. I would believe that you should have some sort of musical training. Definitely, I think to get in, it would help to have some sort of 4-year degree or 2-year degree in music from a college or university.
Well, since this is Anime Stuff R, or Z in this special case, we need to probably ask you, are you familiar with any Japanese anime series yourself, or have you heard any soundtracks or watched any series in the past?
I don't want to insult any of you anime fans out there, but the one show that I watched religiously when I was probably, maybe 10 years old, was a show called Star Blazers.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
And my sister and I would run around the house, and I'd pretend I was the main character, and my sister was Nova.
Oh, I see.
And then I would carry her around, and she'd pretend she was dead, like, near the end of the show, where I think... Yeah, but what I liked about that TV show, even as a 10-year-old, was the fact that it wasn't just a dumb episode after dumb episode. It was like they were on this journey to, like, save their Earth.
Right.
Or save their planet, and They kept running into the bad guys and stuff, but it was cool because they actually, you were going somewhere with the whole, had a whole story arc, and I liked that.
Well, like most anime does. By the way, that was actually called Space Battleship Yamato in Japan, believe it or not, so.
I think I remember the music, too. I loved the theme, you know, Our Star Blazers. I love that.
Of course, I don't know if that was the original Japanese one or not. Well, I know you've got to take a break from composing and performing for a living. What sort of activities do you enjoy in your spare time when you're not at the keyboard?
Well, considering I have a 3-year-old and a 5-month-old, I would say my hobby is my family at this point.
You have no free time. I know how that is, yes.
I have fun taking pictures with my digital camera. I just got a new one, a 4-megapixel this year, so that's been fun. And also, I'm kind of going real low-tech, too. I have this pretty cool 8mm film camera that I, the old silent movies, and I film just whatever, the family or whatever, and then it costs a fortune to do, but it's fun because it's just so different.
Well, now that Invader Zim is essentially finished, with the exception of the Christmas episode, what do we have to look forward to from you in the future?
Well, I'm working on a really cool game. Unfortunately, I can't tell you about it because otherwise, they'll shoot me.
Okay.
But it's for a cool publisher, and it's for a really cool developer, and it's pretty high profile, so it's fun to be working on that. I'm working on that this summer and into probably November, December. And then from there, I'm going to be doing a couple other game projects. It's nice to get back into doing a few games. And in fact, this game that I did this summer, or early this year, Dead to Rights, should be out by the time you're hearing my voice. And there's probably going to be some sequels to that coming up as well.
Very good. So maybe it'll pan out for you over the long term. Excellent.
But if you want to hire me, I'm available. I am expensive, though.
Okay.
Just kidding.
Well, thanks very much for talking with me today, Kevin. And again, I thank you very much for graciously allowing us to spotlight your incredible music on Anime Stuff R. Good luck in your future endeavors, and I assure you that I, for one, will be listening to anything you come out with in the future.
Well, Richard, thank you for doing this, and was your idea, and hey, I'll take any opportunity to have people listen to 4 hours of music nonstop. I hope we don't burn out anybody's eardrums in the process.
Okay, great. Thanks. Okay.